to introduce John Mingy to come up here and to preach for us. As we were talking beforehand, I don't know that many of us have ever heard you preach, so we're looking forward to it. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. I've been looking forward to being here. My wife and I believe I've met most everyone here. If not during the handshake and the greeting time, my wife Whitney in the back and our daughter Chloe, and we'll see. She usually likes to start talking. She talks a lot, and so we'll just have to ignore her. That'll be okay. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. We'll start there. I'm going to read another verse as well, but if you could turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 15. Like I said, we have been excited. Pastor Byram called me and he asked me to preach, and I've never preached in anyone else's church before, and so that kind of shook me a little bit, made me a little nervous, but I'm excited, and what an honor and a privilege. And I can't imagine as a pastor you'd be a little nervous to who you'd want to preach behind your pulpit, and so, but what a privilege it is. Of course, we love to see our relatives, all the Byrams. My Miss Jennifer and my wife are sisters. I almost said brothers, but that wouldn't work. And sorry. But they're sisters, so we get to come and see our family, and that's always a good time. But just to get to preach the word, we love coming here. Every time we've come here, we end up half the conversation on the way home is just the spirit here. And we love the spirit. Y'all are just... I got a great opportunity in college to travel on a singing group, and I got to go in many different churches, and all great churches, but you can just tell some of the churches just had a spirit about them, and this is one of those churches, just the spirit, everybody's happy, and I love it. So that's my kind of church, just everybody's, and whether the preacher, whether you don't get anything from me, no, I was kidding, but it's good to be here, and let's get into the lesson tonight. I won't keep you long. What time does Brother Byram, any specific time? When it's done, sounds good. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I always like to tell people there's ice cream in my freezer, and I'm an ice creamaholic, my wife says, so I have to get home where it's not too late for my ice cream, but that'll be okay. So I won't keep you too long tonight, but let me read you one verse before I read the verse in Hebrews. Mark 4, chapter 4, verse 17 says, "And have no root." Let me read verse 16 first. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground." We're talking about the parable of the sower. And "these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who then they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." And then we'll turn to Hebrews, if you're not already there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. Just read one verse together, and we'll jump right into the lesson. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, "Looking diligently," let's go back up to verse 14, "follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Verse 15, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Let's pray one more time for my sake, and we'll get God in on this, and we'll jump right into the lesson. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for this wonderful church, and what an honor and a privilege that I can stand behind this pulpit and preach your word. I pray I'll be a blessing. I pray you'll fill me with your words and your spirit and your power, and just give me the exact words you'd have me to say, and nothing else, Lord. I pray you'll do a work here tonight, and we can leave here better because of it. We can learn something we can apply to our life. Thank you for a praying church. What an encouragement that is. Just for a church that loves to be, that is in prayer, and we thank you for that, and we want to come to you right now and lift your name, and we pray everything that is said tonight and done will honor and glorify you in your name. Amen. Hebrews and Mark there. In Mark, we talk about the parable of the sower, and then in Hebrews, we get where it starts to talk about bitterness and being defiled, but a lot of times what will happen is problems will come into our lives, and we won't stop that. We won't stem that, and eventually what will happen is these little problems, or a lot of times big problems, can produce bitterness in our lives and can produce problems, but a lot of times in life, we'll want to just get those big problems fixed, and we should. We should take care of big problems in our lives if we have big issues maybe that we need to deal with in our lives, big sins, maybe you could call them big sins. But a lot of times, And so when we just deal with these big problems, we neglect the little things in life. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And we don't want to just neglect the little things, but taking care of these small problems. If we don't take care of them, then just like a snowball effect, eventually these little problems will be a big problem eventually. And I'll illustrate a little bit just to explain. Let me give you an illustration right off the bat. I love sports. And a little too much at times. But I love basketball. And they have the playoffs going on right now. Any Sonics wannabe fans? They're not coming. And but anyways, I love watching basketball. And a big thing, I played high school basketball for my small Christian school. And the coaches always teach the main things: how to pass, how to shoot the ball, how to dribble. Those are the basic fundamentals that you need to learn. But maybe if you could say the little things, if we wanted to get down to the nitty-gritty to be just that better of a team, you would say maybe when instead of just passing the ball, you don't pass the ball at a 7-foot-tall guy's feet. Okay, it's harder to catch it. Or if you wanted to get to the nitty-gritty, the little things of basketball, you would teach not just defense, but how to rotate to different positions. And just the all-around, the little things of basketball, that's how you elevate your basketball team to be good, from being good to being great. And that's how you can, the little things have to be taken care of. That's how you can do something great. When I was in college, let me give you an example of not taking care of the little things. I worked at a company called True Green. I don't know if anybody's heard of that before. And it's a lawn care company. And my job during the spring and summertime I was a salesman. And I didn't really care to be a salesman. I'm just not the salesman type, I guess. But I managed it. It paid. And so I did the salesman. But the wintertime and the fall is when I loved it. And I got to just get down and get into the work. And I got to do the aerations. And just a big oversized lawnmower really is what it looks like. And I got to, it's kind of like the little buffer machines. If you don't take care of it, it'll just run you around. And but I got to do that. And with the job, as they trained us, they gave us very exact, very precise steps on how to do everything. Everything from you wear your boots this certain way, you tie your shoes this certain way. They were just detail-oriented. And as we got in, we had to fill our trucks with the chemicals, and we had to open the bags of chemicals. You know, everything, just down to the nitty-gritty, how to do the work itself. And one of my roommates that I was in with college, his name was Josiah, and we got to work together, and so we enjoyed just getting to be with each other every day in the room, and then obviously we worked together and we became good friends. But Josiah and I, we did different areas. He would open the chemicals, and then I would spray the chemicals, pour the chemicals, or do the work on the lawn. Excuse me. And Josiah, he was just a big guy, and he was muscular. And when most people would have to use razor blades to cut the thick bags open, he would just be able to grab it with his finger. He could stick his finger in a little hole and just rip it open. He was all muscle, and I didn't have an ounce of fat on him, and he could tear open anybody. You didn't mess with him. So that's why I liked working with him. And but Josiah, what he would do every day in and day out, as they taught us to use a razor blade to open these chemicals so you wouldn't get your fingers anywhere near these chemicals, every day, though, he would open the big bag of chemicals with his finger, and just a little bit of chemical. He didn't, if you got it on your finger and wiped it off, you wouldn't notice it, and didn't hurt. You didn't see your finger, didn't fall off right away, wasn't anything like that. But as the months went on, Josiah found that his fingers were starting to hurt, and every once in a while they would cramp up, and he didn't think anything of it. He didn't realize that maybe the chemicals had been doing that. Months and months after, about a year and a half of us working together and him doing this process, trying to get a shortcut just so he could get off work a little bit quicker, and as he kept doing this, he found himself in deep pain. And we'd be sitting in classes together in college, and he found himself not able to write. And just the chemicals had been eating away at his fingers, and he could see the bacteria would start to grow in his fingers. He soon realized this is a problem. And the little problem that it started with trying to skip away or little shortcuts soon became a big problem. And he had to miss classes, and he had to go to the hospital and to get treated to fix these problems. Just one example of how a little problem in his life, in our lives, soon became a big problem in his life. life, and glad better him than me. And we had to deal with that, and that little thing greatly affected Josiah's life. And you know what? Just like it's just the same way in our Christian lives, the little things can soon become big things, and they can greatly affect us and our lives. They can soon turn into big problems. Maybe it's we think a teacher or a principal has it out against us, a little thing like that. Maybe it's someone has offended you. People get offended, and maybe we have a grudge against that person. Or maybe somebody stole my seat that I always sit in church, and I am offended that you would take my seat. Don't you know that's my seat? Maybe it's simply something as small as we've neglected to read our Bible, and we haven't been praying as what we should, and as we know what we should. And whatever it may be, maybe it's something with our marriage, and we've neglected something, or maybe we're struggling in some area of our marriage and in our lives. But little problems like this, if we don't deal with them immediately, if we don't nip it in the bud, then eventually they're going to become big problems. And maybe instead of waiting to put it off like Josiah did, instead of waiting as my friend Josiah did and hoping that it'll fix itself or just go away, we should try to take care of it. The first sign of it, the first sign of, and maybe even our Christian life, as we see the first sign of someone being critical toward authority, that's a signal right there. We should say, you know what? I need to fix this issue in my life. Maybe it's the first sign of a cold heart against God, or maybe it's the first sign of maybe in our marriages, a lack of communication. And I've only been married just for a few years, and we learned right away, there's things you have to do if you want to have a long-lasting marriage, and communication was one of those things. And I'm just one of those type of guys that I'm happy just to sit down and relax, and I can be by myself for hours, but I realized quickly into marriage, and my wife isn't that way, and she wants to be talked to, and we talk. We have a great marriage, great wife, great because of her, and but she's helped me along the way. But we need to, when we see these problems that come into our lives, it's better for us, more advantageous if we stop it right dead in its tracks, right before it becomes something big. Where at first, when it may be just when I had my problem of a lack of communication, it was good to stop that and fix that problem before it got to we're having issues or we're having divorce. You understand what I'm saying? And we need to stop these little things in our life until, in Hebrews said, or in Mark as well, as bitterness will spring up in our lives, and as we're spiteful and as we're angry. And we need to, instead of putting it off, hoping that it'll fix itself, we can fix these problems that are brewing. And let me just give you a few thoughts tonight. We won't be long. And just a few thoughts that we can, from this lesson, that we can apply to our lives. First of all, little problems like this will make you not enjoy what you should enjoy. Little problems. As an example, I'll take my example of marriage. Marriage would be a lot better, we'll be a lot happier if we fix the little problems before we let these problems add up and build up until they're a huge catastrophe blowing up in our face. And we need to, these little problems will make you not enjoy what you should enjoy. Let me give you an example. I had wisdom teeth taken out just a few years ago, and it actually started, I could feel them coming in when I was in college, and so many things in college that just happened, and I should have taken care of them, and I guess that's just growing up and learning a little bit in life. But I put it off because I didn't want to go in and have to take care of it. The doctor said I'd have to have it surgically removed, just because one of them was actually pointing sideways. And so I had all four that had to be surgically removed, and I just didn't want to deal with that. And I was busy working a job. I worked 80, 90 hours a week in my job, so I didn't have time. And so I thought. And what it really came down to, when I finally realized that I had a problem, and my name's John, and I have problem. No, but I said to you that I'm an ice creamaholic, and I got home one day, and I took a bite of my ice cream, and it hurt a lot. And I realized, if I can't eat my ice cream, there are problems here. And I'll be honest with you. You know what? I realized that day I had a problem, not spiritually, maybe, but it was a problem just with a tooth. And I realized, I should get this taken care of now before it becomes worse. And I got to the point where I could barely even eat. I was just eating on one side of my mouth just to put off having my wisdom teeth. I've never had a cavity in my life, and praise the Lord. But one thing, since I haven't, one thing that I've heard you have to do when you get a cavity is they give you a shot to numb your mouth, and that just scares me to death. And so I don't like having anything done on my mouth, and so I was scared, and I put it off. I could barely chew any of my food. And so I realized, you know what? I have a problem that is compounded. It's become something big, and I need to get it taken care of. And you know what? If we let the little things like this go on, they're not going to be fun like it used to. My ice cream had no longer been fun for me. And you know, I didn't enjoy it anymore. It hurt. And you know what? You won't enjoy that walk with God in our spiritual life near like we used to. If we let these problems grow up in our life, obviously not a tooth problem will affect your walk with God, but maybe it's in our relationships. If we let these problems in our relationships go on and continue, we won't enjoy our relationships near as much as we should, or the relationship we have with our spouse or with our family members or with God the way we should if we have these little problems that aren't taken care of. You know, it might hurt to remove the problem. And it might hurt, just like my tooth, it hurt. And I had to go a few days of recuperation, and that hurt. But you know what? I was better off because that little problem that became a big problem was removed in my life. You know, when I had that problem removed, life became much more happy for me. Is that the word? It was much more enjoyable. I enjoyed life more. And you know, we'll enjoy life and everything in more in general if we take care of these little problems. You may have to, it may be we may need to go to apologize to somebody that we've offended maybe. Or maybe somebody that offended us and we just can't get over it and we have a grudge. Maybe we need to confront that. Maybe it's a change in attitude towards God that we might have to do in our own lives. It may be we might have to find some new friends. Maybe some friends that are bringing us down. Whatever it may be, these little problems, we're not going to enjoy life like we should, the Christian life that we should, if we don't take care of these problems. Next, let me point out to you, once the problem is removed, it brings instant joy. Instant joy, just like my tooth problem. I had instant joy. Let me give you another illustration. Once again, in my life, I had, when I was younger, I had a splinter. Anyone ever had a splinter? And of course, some of the splinters we can just pull out real easy. And but every once in a while, you get that whopper, and it's a big one, and it goes deep. I remember when I was little, I was maybe third or fourth grade, and I had a splinter that I couldn't just get out by myself or just with a pair of tweezers. So I went to my mom to ask for some help, like every little boy would do. And of course, she tries first with the tweezers. But then mom realizes it's not coming out just with tweezers. So, of course, what does she do then? She pulls out that needle. That needle looked like a big knife. It was ready to protrude and just cut my finger off. It looked like a big chopping block for my finger. I was not happy, but she pulled that needle out. And my mom is great. She, every time she's had to use the needle, it really didn't hurt. And usually she could get it out. But this time, it was deep. And she was literally in tears, because she felt bad that I was in so much pain. She had never had one that bad in my hand. And I was crying, and she was crying. And I thought she had brought out the skill saw to cut my finger open. And not that bad. But I had a problem in my finger. And as my mom tried to take that, finally, after about an hour of working on my finger and digging with that needle deep into my finger, she finally pulled that splinter out. You know, before I had that splinter, I couldn't even touch that area of my hand. I don't remember if it was my finger or my palm, but you know that kind of the irritation that you have when that area is rubbed or is touched when you have that splinter. And man, I couldn't handle anything being touched on that part of my hand. I couldn't. It was just bothered me. But you know what I realized when that splinter was taken out? I could do everything. I could go play out in the backyard and get dirty and throw rocks, and I could play basketball. I could, well, all boys do, right? And I could do everything with that hand again. when that problem was removed out of my hand, the splinter was removed, if I could say, out of my hand, I experienced joy in my life. I had much more joy in my life, in that area of my life. You know, we may have to experience pain in our life, as I mentioned earlier, but it'll be nothing like the joy we'll feel afterward. Once we have that problem, if it's a spiritual problem, I can say, I know I've used some poor illustrations of a splinter, but that's if we have any spiritual problems in our life as well, when we remove that problem, whether it may be in our relationships, whether it may be just in our walk with God, or maybe we have an attitude problem, when we fix these areas, there'll be much more joy in our lives. So let me just move on. We'll move here. I'll try not to keep you late tonight. Nextly, don't forget the frustration you had to avoid those problems in the future. Now, of course, this wouldn't be able to be done, but say I kept that splinter that I got in my hand, and it was a big splinter, and I just framed it up on the wall, and I saved it for about a year. Say this could be done, and I came about a year later, and I cut my hand open again, and I shoved that splinter back into my hand. That would be ridiculous, right? That would be crazy. But you know what? As crazy as that would be and as ridiculous as that would be to put that splinter back in my hand later on in life, to bring back that pain, to bring back that just that annoying problem that I had in my hand, that is exactly as frustrating as it'll be or as annoying it'll be as if we go back to those problems that we've already fixed in our lives. When we get rid of the problems that we have in our lives, whatever it may be, maybe we went to a youth conference or a revival and we surrendered something to God, or we said, you know what, God, I want to have a better walk with you, or maybe, God, man, these friends, they aren't the friends that I should hang around, or maybe I've gotten saved and the old crowd, I shouldn't hang around them, maybe the music that I've gotten rid of, how I used to talk, maybe I've changed my conversation and the language. You know what, as ridiculous as it would be for me to stick that splinter back into my hand, the splinter that caused all the torment in my life, the splinter that caused all the pain and the annoyance, you know what, that is exactly is what it would be like, is to go back to all those old sins, all those old problems in our lives that'll bring back all that frustration and pain in our life. That would be ridiculous to go do that. I remember when you first got in church and you started growing in the Lord, and you gave so much up of the world away. We shouldn't go back to that. We shouldn't get back to those problems. We shouldn't go back to the music. We shouldn't go back to the lifestyle or the old conversations that we've had. We should, once we leave it, we should leave it there in the past and keep going, growing in the Lord. But don't go back to the frustrations or the problems that you've gotten rid of. And let's not go back to them in the future. Let's forget about those frustrations. Nextly, let me say, don't hate the messenger. You say, what does that mean? I've heard that phrase before. Don't hate the messenger. I'll just say this for... I'll put it on my life. I don't want to offend it. This isn't to offend anyone. I would never do this. This isn't my church. So I'll put myself in this situation. If I gain weight and I get really fat, all right, and if I gained and now I am 500 pounds, all right, because I ate too much ice cream. If I go and if I go, we have a scale up in our bathroom, we have a scale in our bathroom. You don't need details in my house, but and I go and I step on that scale, and that scale, yeah, and that scale no longer says the weight that I am currently, but now that scale says 400 pounds. I don't go down to my garage and get my sledgehammer and destroy that scale. It wasn't the scale's fault, right? It was my fault for eating too much ice cream, all right? It's not the scale's fault. I can't beat the scale and magically I'm back to my normal weight. It wasn't the scale's problem. I had the problem. And if I could, this is probably a poor illustration. Don't tell Brother Byram this, but you know what? Your pastor or your teacher, they're the messenger. Brother Byram, he's your scale. And don't step on him, but he's your scale. And as the pastor, as your teacher gets up, he is there to say, you know, a lot of times we'll get mad, maybe we'll get frustrated. He's calling out my sins. Or he's, you know, he's stepping on my toes, giving different areas that I'm not comfortable with. You know, Brother Byram or your teachers, your Sunday school teachers, whoever it may be, they're your scale. And they're there just to let you know, as the scale was, is to tell me, you've eaten too much ice cream. You need to stop that. As Brother Byram, your pastor, gets up here, he is here to say, you know what? As the shepherd, or he is your pastor. He is here to say, you know what? We have a problem in our lives, maybe, or maybe an issue that we need to get rid of. There's a problem, whether it may be big or whether it may be small. You know, he's up here and he loves you. I can tell just by the spirit. You can tell a pastor just by his people. And just by how the people respond, how the people act. And I've been here a few times now, and the spirit about you all, I can tell you have a very loving pastor. And your pastor, I'm sure, loves you dearly. But as he gets up here, and maybe he'll preach hard on a sin, or maybe a problem that he sees maybe in the church that needs to be dealt with, that's not a time to get mad at the pastor. And sometimes we've had people in our church that have left because of something that was preached maybe. That's not the time to get mad. That's the time to say, you know what? Maybe he sees something that I just haven't seen. He's my scale letting me know that I am 400 pounds now, that I need to get rid of some of these problems get rid of some of these problems. Tongue-tied there. I'm in trouble. And get rid of some of these problems in our life. And so they don't weigh us down. And as your pastor, and what problems maybe that we have creeping up in our lives that we can get rid of. And really, it's a heart problem. And eventually, it's going to turn into something bigger if we don't get it taken care of. My family, we have a long history of cholesterol problems. And my grandfather, he had two or three heart attacks, and he had triple bypass surgery, and I believe that's what he had, a triple or double, and because of his high cholesterol, and it got to the point he had to change all of his eating habits. He could anything that would bring, and I'm not exactly current on everything that would produce the high cholesterol, but ice cream, oh man, and that's one area I got to work on, but I remember one thing I always remembered, he loved eating cereal, but he would no longer eat his cereal with milk. I don't know if milk is a big proponent in producing high cholesterol, but he told me it was, and I believed him. But he said that he no longer ate cereal with milk, he would use water. And to me, that is just disgusting. And but he had to realize, he had to come to a point in his life and realize, if I want to continue to live, I need, with all these heart attacks that I'm having, I need to watch this in my life. My dad, as he got older, in his 30s, the doctor told him, you are a heart attack candidate waiting to happen. And the doctor told him, you need to be careful what you eat. And I believe he had to get on cholesterol medicine for a few weeks. And and then as I got older, the doctor hasn't told me yet that I have cholesterol problems, but I've realized that all these different men in my family that have, my brother has cholesterol problems. I've realized, maybe not as much as with my ice cream, man, and and my wife has helped me. We've started to curb back on different areas that I've eating. Ice cream is my fault. And but I've realized in my life, just one area of my life here, that if I wish to not have cholesterol problems, then I need to take the necessary precautions to not have a heart attack one day in my life. And I can ignore the potential hazard that's waiting to happen. I have that right, and I have that ability. I can continue to eat ice cream every day of my life and I don't eat ice cream that bad. I'm making myself worse than it is. But I have that right to neglect that problem if I'd like. But all I'm going to do is get a heart attack. And I'm bringing these small issues, these small problems, to eventually have bigger problems into my life. And you know what? Just like these small areas in our lives, we have the right. You could say, God gives us that liberty. God gives us that freedom that, you know what, with these small problems in our lives, I don't have to take care of it. I can continue to neglect the problems in my marriage. I can continue to neglect the problems in my walk with God if I'm not reading my Bible and searching after Christ and following after Christ and praying. You know, I have that liberty. God gives us that liberty. I can neglect these little problems in my life. But if I do, I'm going to have bigger problems down the road. I may not have a marriage down the road if I don't take care of those little problems. If I don't take care of the problem of high cholesterol, I'm going to have a bigger problem of a heart attack. And just like the problems in our Christian life, maybe it's our walk with God or whatever area it could be in our lives, any little problems we have in our lives, if we don't take care of these little things in our lives, eventually it's going to be that snowball effect. And we're going to have some big issues in our lives that we need to take care of. Maybe something you're thinking of that just hasn't been resolved. Maybe it's a grudge that we can't let go of, or an attitude maybe toward our parents, teenagers. And I know teenagers, they go through that stage. And sometimes, doesn't have to, but most times we do, and maybe an attitude toward the parents, and something that we just need to take care of. You know, as a doctor, doctors, they're the physicians, if I could use this illustration. Doctors are physicians, or they're doctors, whatever, and but they have, when you're sick or if you're ill, they will give you an antibody, antibiotics, or medicine to help you with that problem. And you know what? We have a physician, the great physician, and you know, he has the antibiotics, the medicine that he can give for you, and that's right here. And he has the Bible, and that can take care of those problems in our lives. When the little problems come up, you know, he can help us. He is the great physician, and he can work on our lives, and he can show us what needs to be taken care of, and he can work, and he can mold us. He's the potter. We are the clay, and he can mold us, and he can shape us. And when these little problems in our life come up, we can go to God and say, God, I need your help. And God, I need you in my life. I need your power. I need your wisdom. Just help me, Lord, in these areas. And he can help us, and we can work through these little problems before they come up to something big. You know, don't leave tonight without fixing the little problems in our lives. Don't leave without fixing these. Get your problem fixed. Leave that pain. Leave that frustration that it comes with. Just working on a marriage, taking a few minutes throughout your day to speak with one another with your spouses and your relationships. You know, that'll cause you, if you don't like to, I guess, if you would say, that'll cause you less strife and anguish rather than going through a divorce. And it's a lot cheaper too. But you don't want to go through that. And you have the solution right here in the Bible. And you have the physician ready to help. You can fix your little problems before they turn into something big. Let me encourage you tonight, and we're finished. Let me encourage you, don't leave tonight without getting these little things in our lives fixed. We have the great physician. He can do anything. And all we have to do is go to him and get his help. We got a Bible right here that we can go to. And as Mark and as Hebrews said, you know, we don't want, I lost my place, I can't read it now. We don't want that bitterness springing up with these problems that will arise. You know what, if we don't take care of these little problems as they're little, we all have problems, and we're all human. We're all going to sin. Don't get me wrong. I'm human just like you. I'm nobody special, but I get to get up here and preach. I hope I've helped you, but I just want to, let me challenge you. Let me encourage you tonight. Don't leave tonight or before you get home or whatever it is. Maybe a husband and wife will talk with one another, or a teenager maybe can go to their parent. Get these little problems fixed. We all have big problems, maybe, yes, that need to be worked on. Let me encourage you tonight. Let's look at the little things in life that we can work on before they get to be big problems. We'll pray, and we'll have an invitation. Dear Lord, I pray you'll bless, and I pray you'll just work through our lives. And Lord, if there is any problems that we need to fix in our lives, whatever it may be, maybe it's our relationship with you, if nothing else. We all could spend more time with you in our lives. Maybe it's a relationship with our children or our spouse. Whatever it may be, Lord, I pray you'll bless and just help us to, we need your help. And I pray you'll help us through these problems in our lives, and we can be better because of it, Lord, better Christians because of it, Lord. I pray you'll bless. In your name, amen.